The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 20th, 1989 in Bhaktivedanta Manor, England. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 3, Verse 22 through 24.
Yasya brahmadayo deva Vedalokas charachara Vedalokas charachara Namarupa vibhedena Namarupa vibhedena Palgvyacha kalayakrita Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead creates His minor parts and parcels, the Jiva Tattva, beginning with Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the expansions of Vedic knowledge, Sama, Rig, Yajur, and Atharva, and including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics. As the sparks of a fire, or the shining rays of the sun, emanate from their source, and merge into it again and again. The mind, the intelligence, the senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of the different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge into Him. He is neither demigod nor demon, neither human nor bird or beast. He is not woman, man, or neuter, nor is He an animal. He is not a material quality, a fruitive activity, a manifestation or non-manifestation. He is the last word in the discrimination of not this, not this, and He is unlimited. All glories unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. This is a summary description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited potency. That Supreme One is acting in different phases by manifesting His parts and parcels, which are all simultaneously differently situated by His different potencies.
So Gajendra was in the most dangerous situation where he was captured by the crocodile. And first he materially tried to struggle with the crocodile, but then after a certain point he realized that it was a hopeless cause. By his own strength he was not going to survive or be able to defeat the crocodile. Srila Prabhupada explained that the crocodile was an animal, amphibious animal, an animal of the water. So the longer he was staying in the water, he was quite happy, quite well situated, where the Gajendra, being a land animal, although elephants go and bathe in the water, but they don't live in the water, he was gradually losing his strength in comparison to the crocodile. So then finally he decided to take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he began to offer these prayers. In material life, it's a habit with conditioned souls to always try to overcome all the different obstacles. But a pious living entity, when they are in distress, they turn to Krishna. Four types of living entities, four types of pious persons turn to Krishna. Those who are in economic need, those who are in distress, those who are inquisitive, those who have knowledge. To explain that if somebody just turns to the Lord when they're in distress, or just turns to the Lord when they're in need, etc., that they're actually only the partial recipients of the Lord's mercy. The pure devotees are always taking shelter of the Lord under all circumstances, in failure and victory, in danger and success, in all different situations. So the pure devotees have the mercy of the Lord all the time, where others are partially getting the mercy of the Lord and partially not. But here, there's a kind of transformation in the consciousness of Gajendra, where he's not just praying to be saved from the crocodile and released again as an elephant so he can continue enjoying his senses. Most people, most pious people, they pray to the Lord when they're in danger, but when they're out of danger, then they forget. In India, people are naturally pious, and at certain times, you see that naturally there's some kind of anxiety, then people turn to God. When there's election time, you see even the communist leaders go to the temples and make prayers. This is a well-known fact. Before the final examinations, all the students who before they didn't have any concern with religious affairs, they're all going to the Saraswati temples and praying for blessing, or to different temples so they can pass their final exam. Many students have come to me and said, I've just taken my final, give me Ashirvad so I can get a good result. Of course, once the danger or the difficulty is over, then people tend to forget the Lord, and they concentrate on the materialistic activities. But here we see in Gajendra that in the different prayers that he's saying that if I get out of this danger, but I don't want to remain in ignorance anymore. I don't want to remain just in materialistic consciousness anymore. Please bless me that I can actually be not only liberated from this danger, but that I can be liberated from the material ignorance and be situated in your eternal relationship. This is the special teaching of the Bhagavat. Bhagavat philosophy is to take us out of the material ignorance, to take us to the point of actually the full shelter of Krishna eternally, his pure devotional service. When Rupa and Sanatana met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramakeli, and Lord Chaitanya initiated them and instructed them to join him later. At that time, Rupa Goswami could leave earlier, and we know how he distributed his wealth, 50% to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas and Guru, and 25% to his family members, and 25% was for an emergency. He kept some banker. Sanatan Goswami had a more difficult time getting out. He was staying in his home hearing the Bhagavatam, calling sick to the emperor. Finally, the emperor sent his physician, and the physician said, there's nothing wrong with Sanatan Goswami. So then the emperor suddenly appeared at the house of Sanatan Goswami and saw that all Brahmanas reading the Bhagavatam. Sanatan Goswami was just hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said, why you're not coming and doing your duties as the prime minister? You know, you have to take charge of the government so I can go out and attack other kingdoms and increase my empire. Compared himself to a hunter. He was a great warrior, the Hussein Shah. He was busy in increasing his empire. But Sanatan Goswami refused. He said that now he wasn't interested in those type of political activities. So the emperor became angry, was afraid he would run off. So he had him arrested. And at that time, then Sanatan Goswami, he was also in a difficulty. He was in prison. So then he didn't know what to do. Of course, before, during, after, he's always taking shelter of the Lord. So in that difficulty also, taking shelter of the Lord, and he got the intelligence what to do. He offered a handsome sum to the jailer and praised him for being a great pious person and different things. And somehow he was able to make the plan, so he got released. He went with his servant, Ishan. So they kept off the high road and went to various pathways which were through jungles and mountains and things like that, off the path. So in one lodge, one inn, somewhere in a remote area, Sanatan Goswami took shelter. Well, the innkeeper had an astrologer, and the astrologer could understand that Sanatan Goswami had, I believe it was seven gold coins. Actually, Ishan had taken seven gold coins. So the innkeeper was very friendly to Sanatan, offering him everything, nice room, food. But Sanatan didn't pay him anything, says the innkeepers normally don't give you anything free. So why is he being so nice to me? So then he started to think something was suspicious. So he asked Ishan, do you have any gold coins? He said, yes. And he said, give them to me. So Ishan gave him six gold coins. And then Sanatan called the innkeeper and said, here, I want to give you these gold coins. You kindly take me out of here. You send me across these mountains. So I want to get to Benares and get over this difficult area. The innkeeper said, no. Actually, I was going to kill you in the night and take your money. But you're such a nice person. So you keep the gold coins. I won't take them. Sanatan said, no, someone else may kill me for these. If I have nothing, I'm safer. You keep them. Then the innkeeper said, well, even, you know, my astrologer said you had seven gold coins, but it's all right, you know, you keep the last one or something. Somehow he revealed that even he knew how many gold coins he had, such an expert astrologer. So then Sanatan Goswami knew that Ishan had kept, although he said give everything, he didn't, he kept one. So by this he could understand Ishan was still having a lot of attachments, wasn't ready to fully surrender. So he told him, look, you go back. You take the gold coin and go back to your house. I'll go alone from here. So Krishna, Lord Krishna tests at different stages. And the devotees, they're compelled to surrender more and more and become more fixed in devotional service, depend on Krishna more totally. It's like a refining process. Remember one time Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving the lecture on Queen Kunti in Mayapur, and he was talking on the verse Niskinchana Gochara, that Krishna is only known by those who have nothing. And Srila Prabhupada explained that how wonderful it is to have nothing. And he made such an expression, how wonderful it is to have nothing. And it was so expressive. It sounded very deep. Having nothing doesn't mean, of course, in an external sense, but actually realizing that everything is Krishna's, that there's nothing but Krishna, Krishna's energy and Krishna, that everything is the property of Krishna, so nothing belongs to one. When one actually understands that, it's a very profound realization. You're watching the unedited video, one of the Prabhupada videos, and how Prabhupada kept stressing this point that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. This should be understood on the international diplomatic level, that God is the proprietor of everything. It seems like a very simplistic point. People, you know, can just like kind of gleam over it, but it's actually so profound that if everyone understood that Krishna or God is the proprietor of everything, then the ecology, then international relations, the differences between North and South, the differences between East and West, etc. All the different problems which we're facing every day, the newspapers are filled with these different problems. They'd be solved just by applying this principle, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. God is the proprietor. Therefore, we should manage things in that consciousness. But because we think in the material world, the human beings think that they're the proprietors of everything. Therefore, they're exploiting nature. Recently, they're exploiting nature. Instead of protecting it, they'll be exploiting it. They're just, and in exploiting it, there's so many imbalances. So now people are concerned, the greenhouse effect, this problem, that problem, because they're not considering that everything is the property of Krishna. Therefore, they should use it in a responsible way, because they thought it was their property, they can do whatever they please. Now they're seeing that there's so many problems coming up, and they have to suffer so many reactions. So basic formulas given in the Vedas, everything is the property of Krishna, are actually so profound when they're realized and applied that they can solve all the problems. So Sanatana Goswami, he could see that Ishan hadn't come to that realization of completely surrendering to Krishna, so send him back. And he went on alone without any money, just depending on Krishna. You can say, took sannyas in a real sense. Of course, he was always completely surrendered, but externally. So when he came to Lord Chaitanya, finally reached Lord Chaitanya in Benares, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to meet him that immediately they embraced. He embraced Sanatana Goswami. Srila Prabhupada explained that that was a complete ecstasy of being reunited, just like after a long separation when the gopis were reunited with Krishna. Sanatana Goswami could finally be reunited with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was not different, the ecstasy. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving that pastime in, I believe it was in, what's the name of that place where Hanuman Puder is? Gorakhpur. Radha Madhava from Mayapur were traveling with him at the time. He himself became so absorbed in that ecstasy that he couldn't speak. He just got choked up and tears were pouring from his eyes. And for about 4 or 5 minutes, there was just silence. Then finally, with a broken voice, he said, "Chant Hare Krishna." Just by explaining the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami, Srila Prabhupada was experiencing the same ecstasy himself. So that's the special mercy of the holy name of the Bhagavatam, that if we really, with purified consciousness, can concentrate and hear the names, hear the teachings of the Bhagavatam, we can experience the similar ecstasies, like ecstasy or the experience, the realization of pure devotional service is like a vast sky. According to each bird's capacity, they can fly high in the sky. Some eagles are there, they can fly miles high. Some sparrows, they can only fly a few hundred yards. So according to one's capacity, they can realize or experience. It's like some fish can go deep in the ocean, some can only go on the top. But everyone can experience some nectar if they give their full consciousness and attention. So in this teaching of Gajendra, how an ordinary material dangerous situation was transformed into a catalyst or impetus for Gajendra to take the full shelter of Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then how he was delivered. So similarly, in all the different things that may happen in each of our lives, we need to take everything that happens as an opportunity to surrender to Krishna more. Whether it's a danger or whether it's a success. Maya will give us always reasons why to become bitter, why to become materialistic, right? If we're doing Sankirtan, book distribution, if we have a good day, Maya can give us an impetus to see, you're such a great devotee, you're so wonderful, you're so expert, this, that, you're better than everybody, and get puffed up, and the next day we don't do good, and then just see this devotional service is no good, you should go back home, and things are better. Or if we do good, we can hear the words of the Bhagavatam, and the Guru, the Vaishnavas, that this is simply the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Although I am most insignificant, most fallen of the fallen, but somehow by their mercy I was able to act as an instrument, and Krishna's mercy could pass through me, and these conditioned souls could take Krishna's mercy in the form of transcendental literature. Or if the distribution didn't go so well, then how I'm not surrendered. how, because I'm so fallen, I'm not able to act as a proper instrument. I should surrender more. I should become more determined in my devotional service. Everything that happens, we can go either way. We can go Maya's way or we can go Krishna's way. So through the intelligence, through these important teachings, just how Gajendra, he used this situation to take shelter of Krishna. Similarly, we should use every circumstance that happens to just surrender more and more to Krishna. Sometimes it takes a very heavy situation like the one of Gajendra, where it's just a life and death circumstance, to force one to surrender and become serious about devotional service. Why should we wait for such a difficult situation? There's danger at every step. Better to surrender right away. Why delay? So these teachings are, like Prabhupada said, more intelligent person learns by that, by seeing others. If everybody's going outside and getting wet in the rain, an intelligent person, well, I won't go out without an umbrella. I'll get wet. If there's an epidemic going around and everyone's getting sick, then an intelligent person would take the precautions to not get sick. So Maya is very active. She's always trying to attack. She is always attacking. Until we get out of this material body, Maya is always there waiting to influence us. We can't expect to be free from Maya's suggestions as long as we're in this material world. But by studying the books, the lessons of Srila Prabhupada, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc., we can distinguish what are Maya's suggestions and ignore those suggestions, reject them. And we can learn to distinguish what is Krishna suggesting. What were the words of Sadhu Guru Vaishnava, Shastra Sadhu Guru, and accept those instructions. And this way we can cross over all the difficulties. Because Krishna is transcendental to everything material. That's the point in this verse. Whatever there is in the material world, it's coming from Krishna. It'll go back again into Krishna. So Krishna is existing before the material world, he's existing after. It's transcendental. So by depending on Krishna, we are transcendental to the material situation. So Gajendra has come to that conclusion. Rather than depending on the big elephant body, rather than depending upon any material situation, he's now simply surrendering to Krishna, that you are the only one who's worthy of depending on. Everything else is going to be finished, even Brahma, even the whole universe. You're there eternally, so I'm taking shelter of you. Big boxing champions say, I'm the greatest, and then later on they become, can't even speak properly, can't walk properly because their brain has been smashed so much by boxing gloves. Then the new greatest comes. The material life, this is the illusion. Everyone's trying to make the gold medal Olympic, make the big champion, become a big politician. But everything has its time. After some time, things change. Someone gave the kind of graphic example of, I don't remember in what context, but I remember someone gave a graphic example of worms crawling on top of each other, and one worm gets to the top of the pile, and then after a while it gets pulled down by the others, another one comes up. So all these things are recorded in daily newspapers with great enthusiasm. But the Lord is eternally above all of these struggles in the material world, and people need to be conscious of Him. And that's a duty of the devotees, is they're bringing this consciousness to people. They don't have the consciousness. They're very much focused on the struggle in the material world. So they need, like Gajendra, to come to understand that in this struggle, sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose, but if you take shelter of Krishna, you're the real winner. You're the real victor. Because Krishna is the only one who can give the complete shelter, no one else. And one who has the complete shelter of Krishna, his life is already a success. Oh, but while he's living, he's under Krishna's shelter. He's in the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement, relishing the devotional service to Krishna. And when he leaves this material body, then he goes back to Krishna and serves Krishna eternally. So, living or dying, everything is perfect. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Any question? Of course, great mystic yogis, they could go to Yamaraj and ask him. That's how one yogi didn't feel happy, so he cursed Yamaraj to come down as a sudra, became Vidura. But we don't directly have that communication. We know philosophically that as long as we have a material body, there's certain karmas or certain momentum. Although the karmas of devotees are ended, no new karmas are added, but that there's a certain momentum continuing on connected with the body. On the one side, for spiritual masters then, in addition to whatever karmas their body might have, they take disciples. Some disciples don't follow strictly. They have to be responsible for the karmas of the disciples. Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan in 1977, he held up his very emaciated, thin hand, and he said, "This is because I took too many unqualified disciples. I have to become sickly like this. I took disciples and I didn't follow." So, philosophically, we can understand why different reasons, why, whether personally or in the case of a guru, one who has taken disciples, why they could suffer different situations of external suffering. And sometimes Prabhupada said that he got sick. He said this was so that the disciples would become, what was the exact words? I don't know if I can remember the exact words in my brain's not fully clear, but I can just kind of paraphrase it. Maybe someone else can remember the exact words. But the gist of it was that by being sick, that would force the devotees to take care of him and give them an opportunity to kind of surrender more and serve him. Sometimes the devotees get on a mental platform and the spiritual master gets sick. And get off the mental platform and get to the practical platform of surrendering. We don't know. Ultimately, Krishna, by one action, he can do so many things. We can see things, we can analyze. I don't think there's any end to it, you know. When we're discussing, some devotees think, well, this is kind of exhibited certain needs that exist in the Spanish yatra. Some people analyze, well, this is forced. You know, I personally got many realizations going through this. It's like practically dying and being reborn. It's practically the last thing I can remember. It's practically like dying before I went into operation. When I was in the operation room, it practically felt like I was just thinking of Krishna and dying. And then coming out of it, it was practically like a rebirth because I was on intensive care, so it was completely like a baby. Didn't have any control over my motor movements, over my eyes, over anything. And I was just being taken care of like a baby. And then gradually coming in the next few days, like going through the span of years in a matter of days, like going from infant the first day to one, like every day was like I was going a year or two or three or four, whatever. But I imagine it could be analyzed from so many different perspectives. Perspective of ISKCON, perspective of leadership. Krishna achieves many things with one action. So it's very difficult to isolate and say, well, this is the reason. Because you could say that about 20 different things. And maybe all of them are right. Or maybe some of them aren't right. Maybe they're speculative. It depends how expert one is it analyzing philosophically the different things that happen. You know, Shivaram Maharaj and Tamalakrishna Maharaj, when they came on Radhastami, they had many realizations, philosophical realizations, things which maybe I've been more subjective, but they saw from another point of view, different angle. I got a letter from Maharaj, Nandasur Maharaj, and he had some realizations in the letter which were had a profound effect on me when I was in the hospital. So, I mean, different devotees, I'm sure it's not, because Krishna, he can achieve so many things with one action. You say, how can you say, well, this is the reason? It may be one of the reasons. So we have to ultimately take that what happens, that Krishna permitted it to happen. There may be many reasons why he permitted it to happen. And just take the positive benefit out of it. Learn from the negative aspects, learn from the positive aspects, learn from every aspect of it. And some devotees said their faith in Krishna was brought into question. I don't think that's, we should never question Krishna or lose our faith. Krishna was very kind in me that I didn't lose consciousness. I could remain conscious in spite of the pain or everything, I didn't lose consciousness and I didn't forget him. The thing is, we don't forget Krishna. So in the face of difficulty, that somehow Krishna gave us causeless mercy and all, I have no devotional purity, but he was so kind enough to allow me to remember him and pray to him. Because that's the ultimate test. Whenever we leave the body, if we can just somehow or another remember Krishna. I hope somehow I'm here. I'm still living in this body. I just hope that whenever I have to leave this body, I can remember Krishna. And Vaishnavas bless me that I remember Krishna then. We don't know what's going to happen. Some devotees, you know, whether they leave by cancer, or whether they leave by old age, or whether it's falling asleep at the driving wheel because they're not careful. No, we have to learn to become more and more conscious of Krishna at every circumstance. Now Krishna consciousness is a worldwide movement. When this happened, it was flashed all over the world. There are crazy people that don't like Krishna consciousness spreading in the West. It's surprising that there hasn't been more attacks on Hare Krishna leaders, Swamis. This person didn't even know, he's just a visitor. He didn't know anything about gurus yet. He just knew Swamis. He was out to get a Swami. That was the big Swami, so. He tried to get a couple other Swamis when he was there. He'd offer to drive some to the airport in different places, but everybody refused. So I guess he got desperate. I was like the last Swami visiting. Figured this was his last chance. There wasn't any other Swamis around. So the doctor said if it had been another Swami with not such a big neck, probably wouldn't have survived. But there's many crazy people, and maybe we have to, if they're going to go after Swamis, maybe we have to have a special Swami Corps. Protect the Swamis. Prabhupada was concerned about being kidnapped, about being attacked. In the last few years, he had bodyguards. He said when Mayapur was attacked, they were looking for him. They wanted to eliminate him. He was concerned. We haven't been very concerned. We've kind of been living a happy-go-lucky kind of, traveling everywhere. Everyone's trying. Nobody's really concerned. But who knows, now more and more as Krishna consciousness expands, the anti-cult people are becoming more also very outspoken. So this affects some people. I know when George Harrison or these big movie stars and people, they travel around, they're always in a fear of their life, especially after they killed John Lennon. George Harrison said he'd come to Mayapur, but if we don't tell anybody. And then he was just revealing how, I mentioned, you know, he got discovered when you were in Bangkok. He said, yeah, he always checks in the name of his bodyguard. But somehow, somebody just could recognize him or spot him, and then they tell, and all the charities come to get him to do charity benefit. Everybody wants the movies, you know, the rock and roll singers to do a charity benefit because then they can make it. Just like we get Anoop Jalota to come, they want George Harrison or some rock and roll singer to do a benefit concert, you know, some big money. So immediately he had to, like, leave because along with the benefit people, the crazy people, they want to become famous for killing, you know, some big movie star or something. So who knows, so many people, more and more as Krishna consciousness becomes prominent, can be more dangerous for the leadership. I don't know how the world body is going to address the problem. It seems also a problem has to be addressed. Because this this person's very intelligent. He says when he had three knives, he said when he gets out, each knife has a destination in ISKCON. Of course, he had seven knives, seven or nine that he offered to Krishna on Janmashtami. He had a rose bush and he stuck the knives around the rose bush and offered to Krishna. So who knows how many. There's crazy people out there, you know. But they're very intelligent. He's very planning, this person. Who knows if there's more like him or if he's got some people behind him. So externally we have to also, we see Krishna behind everything, but externally we have to also take precautions against the attacks of demons. And just like here we're working so hard against this Hirschmeyer Council and politics trying to close the manor, but we have to do so many things, meetings and public things. We have to go to court. It's not that we just say, oh, Krishna will take care of it. We have to also take care for Krishna. We're trying to protect Krishna's temple. Ultimately, we're depending on Krishna's mercy, but it's our service to protect Krishna's temple, to keep the preaching going. It's like that in every sphere. Well, when we get kicked, sometimes that's a mercy, make us run and take shelter of Krishna. Right? When a little baby walks away from the parents and then suddenly looks around, doesn't see the parents, gets scared, starts crying, runs back to the parent. Like that, sometimes we get away from Krishna. Maya is also can be a mercy to help us to surrender to Krishna. In this Gajendra pastime, the attack of the crocodile was an impetus for Gajendra to surrender to Krishna. We should surrender without such impetus, but sometimes we need Maya to remind us that we have to take shelter of Krishna. When she does that, that's also a mercy. She has a dual role, and they say can go both ways. That's where the devotee is, by giving people spiritual intelligence. Then when they can see things in the proper spiritual perspective, then Maya's role becomes very conducive for being Krishna conscious. But when we're in total ignorance, then Maya is keeping us in. It's like that's not Maya's only definition. Maya also means to forget Krishna, that which is not. So the way we can see Maya's mercy is when we're Krishna conscious. So we need that Krishna conscious intelligence. Then we can see even Maya as the energy of Krishna. That's as Srila Prabhupada said, when the devotee goes back to Krishna, then even Maya is standing and offering her respects. Congratulations. No, devotees, one of the qualities of devotion, of a devotee, kindness, compassion. Para dukkha dukkhi, to be sad to see others suffering. So devotees are very compassionate. If someone else is suffering, they're always helping, comforting, preaching, giving good association. It's not like, oh, you're getting what you deserve. The devotee philosophically may consider like that themselves, but the other devotees, they're always comforting and preaching. Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was so concerned when Haridas Thakur was sick. He went to see him. He told Haridas Thakur, you don't have to chant all your rounds. Told him so many things, you know. But where devotional service is personal, Lord Chaitanya showed so much compassion. Krishna shows so much compassion when his devotee is attacked. When Haridas Thakur was being whipped in the 22 marketplaces, Krishna himself came and took the beating. So Krishna has so much compassion for the devotee, then what to speak of his devotees, who are the mercy representation of Krishna. Vaishnavas are personified mercy, you can say. You see, but devotees, of course, they're Krishna conscious. It's not just like some kind of mundane sentiment. They can see things. They also help to preach and keep a person in the proper Krishna conscious perspective. keep us out of becoming angry, bitter, in illusion, or overly materially attached. At the same time, they help. Last question? Okay. Maharajas, any comments? Krishna Swami. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki.